What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Double M Live.
Yes, sir. It's a Tuesday.
Yes, sir. We back on a Tuesday episode. What episode we on, Mike?
This is 86.
Episode 86.
We messed up last time. A lot going on. We had a couple episodes here. They threw a bunch of things
emergency podcast.
Messed up
the numbers. But it is episode 86 here on Double M Live, man. Mike, nice. We are in the month of August, brother.
It's August.
It's the month of August,
man. You got to be kidding me.
It's the month of August, man.
It's August already?
It's not the official, but it's the unofficial last month of summer.
Yo, when August comes around, you just know. Whether you were a teacher, educator, student, it's just that feeling of, oh, boy.
That's it. Every day hurts.
Summer's about to be done. That's how you feel.
Every day hits when it's August, because you know it's just one day closer to, you know, colder weather. Like you said, if you are an educator, back to school.
Around the corner.
Yeah, man. Then next thing you know, it's holiday season. You know, things go by quick here. But we going to keep it moving, man. Not only is it episode 86, Mike Nice.
Yo.
It's the GOAT's birthday.
Who? The greatest quarterback of all time.
It is Tom Brady's birthday, 44 years old, just off of his number 7 championship ring. And now the debate has begun. He has multiple Hall of Fame careers.
Yeah.
Multiple.
You can cut it in half, you can send both of them to Canton.
And someone made the argument that maybe he has 3 Hall of Fame careers.
3 Hall of Fame careers.
So you break it down to, let me pull it up.
All right, let's give me some knowledge here. Give me some knowledge.
From 2000 to 2006. We remember that, Brady. 3-time Super Bowl champ, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, 3-time Pro Bowler, led the leagues in passing 1 time, and led the league in passing touchdowns 1 time. Impressive. In that 6-year span.
Hall of Fame career.
Wow.
We know that, right? We can all
2002 to 2006.
2000.
2000 to 2006.
2006. 6-year career. Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'll take that quarterback. Any team would take a quarterback like that.
Now I'm going to do 2014 to 2020. This one's crazy.
This year.
4-time Super Bowl champ. 2-time Super Bowl MVP. 1-time MVP. Led the league in passing 1 time. Led the league in passing touchdowns 1 time. Super Bowl MVP with 2 different teams. Not only is that a Hall of Fame career, but right there you could make the claim he's the greatest of all time from 2014 to 2020.
Yeah, not many quarterbacks get a chance or get even close to do what Tom Brady has done throughout his NFL career. Even if you cut him in half, some quarterbacks don't even last that long in the league sometimes because they suck. Tom Brady, like you said it right there, you can cut that man's career in different type of ways, and it's just impressive from start to finish. It's way past the conversation of if this guy is the greatest of all time. That's not even a question anymore. You just have to sit back and watch the greatness continue to unfold. This man turned 44 years old today. What is today? August 3rd, right?
August 3rd.
This man turned 44 years old and is gearing up to play another season of football. That's never been seen before.
But wait, I didn't tell you the third career.
Oh, yeah.
I told you from 2000 to 2006, and then I jumped from 2014 to 2020. Oh. Now here's the argument.
Okay.
From 2007 to 2013, no Super Bowls, 2-time MVP, 6-time Pro Bowler, led the league in passing touchdowns 2x, led the leagues in passing yards 1x. Player of the year, offensive player of the year. And if you can make your argument from 2007 to 2013, that was the best Brady out of the 2 Hall of Fame careers that we mentioned.
What do you want me to say here? What do you want me to say? The man's amazing.
So does he have, could you make an argument? He has three different separate Hall of Fame careers.
I just said it and I say it again. What he's been able to do throughout his career, however you want to chop it up, amazing. Tom Brady has defied the odds, you know, Tom versus time, this and that. He continues to impress. You, any other quarterback or any other time in history, a quarterback at 44, he's definitely not the starter.
Yeah,
I don't even know if he's the second string. What is he trying to prove? Tom Brady is coming into his age 44 season in the NFL, and he's a top five quarterback in the league.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Off of a Super Bowl ring where, by all accounts, he probably has a team that is the Super Bowl favorite.
To repeat, yeah, sure are. I have him as favorites to repeat. I sure do.
And that's just crazy. 44, something I don't think we'll ever see again in our lifetime. Seven Super Bowl rings. We see it. We know how hard it is to win one Super Bowl. And we've seen teams strive and scratch to get that one. And it's how celebratory it is. The man has seven?
Seven. Guy's flashing seven rings.
That's stupid.
This guy's flashing seven rings on you. But happy birthday to Tom Brady, man. From Double M, Mike, and Marv. Happy birthday, Tom Brady. Hope you enjoy. And hey, I hope you have another successful season and continue to defy the odds for sure.
Yeah, man. But you know, we are here at Double M Live, and the show is nothing without you guys. The interactiveness, how you guys interact with us. What's on your mind? What's going on with you guys? That's what keeps this show going. We appreciate every single one of you guys. So if you are new to Double M, please right now hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Conversate with Mike Nice and I.
Hit the share button as well.
Hit that share button. You know, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And keep it going. Shout out to our boy Josh. He's in the building right now. Be on the lookout from work from Josh, who's also on the Double M Media team. So, Mr. Mike Nice, man, what's on the playlist today? What are we doing?
On the playlist today, we got a lot to talk about. Real interesting conversations loading up. We got to talk about New York City mayor. Let me make sure I say this correctly, because this is still wild to me. The New York City mayor, Bill de Blasio, announces that proof of COVID vaccine will be required for indoor dining, fitness, and performances. So if you're going to the gym, if you're going to a concert, if you're eating, before you enter these facilities, you must show proof of vaccination. This is real life.
Real life.
We're going to get into that conversation. But, you know, that's one of the things we have on the playlist. We definitely want to hear everybody's thoughts and opinions on this for sure. Also, as we talk about, you know, COVID vaccine and COVID-19 vaccine and, you know, the cards and whatnot, we also understand that we're still in the pandemic in a sense. But while we're in the pandemic, you got things like the Olympics taking place, but you also have things like music festivals taking place. One music festival that took place that everybody's talking about is Rolling Loud. And because you have all these people at Rolling Loud, is that contributing to this pandemic that we're in? We'll dive into that conversation as well for sure. Also, NBA season is around the corner.
Free agency is buzzing.
Free agency is buzzing. It started up Monday evening at 6 p.m. You were able to talk. Teams were able to talk to free agencies. And teams, bing, bang, bang, bing, bang, 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 making moves left and right, signing players, agreeing and whatnot. Someone call Brad Stevens to see if he's awake yet, because I don't know. But again, we'll dive into that for sure. And to my baseball fans out there, to my Red Sox fans, we're past the All-Star break. We're into the second half of the season. What the hell is going on with the Red Sox? Because they're not as hot as they were to start the season. But an answer may be on the way. We'll dive into that as well. But that's what's on the playlist. Just want to reiterate what Marv said. If you're watching right now, hit subscribe. Hit the like button. definitely hit that share button. Double M is live right now, and we definitely want you to join the conversation with us. You see that comment section? Be in there. Join us. Talk to us. We want to hear from you.
For sure, man. Double M live. Let's kick it off with the news today. You know, as we are recording on August 3rd, New York has put the mantle down. Say you can't come into our businesses unless you are fully vaccinated. And we're talking about right now what? Gyms and restaurants, I believe, are what is being highlighted right now. And this could be a trend. We all see when one city starts something, it starts to spread.
New York, a big city too.
New York's a very big city, very populated. We know what happened earlier in the year. New York was hit heavy when it came to COVID-19. So it makes sense why they are the first to make this rule. Obviously, it's to force people to start getting vaccinated who have not already, and it's going to come with a lot of backlash. This may be the beginning of something I fear could be really ugly for this country. We already see how this country handles adversity. We can just look at January 6th and what happened. And like, people can't handle situations like this, or can't be handled. You can't tell people what they can or not do. We've seen all the people who got upset when it came to just wearing masks. That wasn't even vaccination. That was just, hey, you can't come in unless you wear a mask. And people are upset about that. Now we're talking about a vaccine. It can get real ugly, in my belief.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had this conversation with family, friends and whatnot. And as wild as, you know, that news was that came out saying that, you know, businesses or different things of that sort are not going to allow people to enter without proof of vaccination. I saw this coming a mile away. I think most people saw it coming a mile away, that this is where the world could be trending. You're like, I saw that headline, New York City mayor makes that, you know, that declaration. And I read it and I'm like, wow, it's real. It's real.
It's happened.
I talked about it. We talked about it, but now it's really taking place. Where restaurants, concerts, gyms, you know, next thing you know, might be the airport, train station. Like, unless you whip that card out of your pocket that says, I have the vaccination, you will not get served. You got to walk around. I'm afraid we might get to a place where you have to walk around with that card like you do with your driver's license.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna get to that point.
Can you show your ID to prove that you're 18 plus? I mean, or 21 plus? Yeah, sure. Here's that. Okay, thanks. Here's your ID back. Cool. Now, can you give me your vaccination card? Can I see that, please? That's where we're headed. And that's crazy. That you want to go out to have a drink. Long day at work. Let me go to the bar down the street. You know, I got to bring my ID. You know, got to make sure you're legal to drink. Huh, but make sure you don't forget to have vaccination card, too. You got to show that, too. That's where we are headed. Not even headed. It's here.
It's here. I mean, New York, you can see it as the test dummy, in a sense. If numbers, and everything's about numbers, right? If numbers shows like in like 3 weeks that New York did this vaccination test and they're not allowing people to go into restaurants and gyms, and they seen that, you know, this new COVID variant, it's nothing, we got to talk about how there's different variants of COVID now. This new variant of COVID's gone down. You're going to see everyone else is going to hop on board and be like, oh, this is the new wave. Hey, unfortunately, you cannot come into our businesses until you are vaccinated. And then, you know, people are going to have to what? Take screenshots of their vaccination cards or make them smaller somehow and just be able to have it as a carry-on with them wherever they go. And that's going to be the new normal. We've been saying new normal for years, but this might be the new normal where you have to have some type of ID where it's fits sizable enough that you can put in your wallet and you go about it. Yeah. It's crazy to think that even We're talking about places to go for entertainment and like leisure. What about people who are looking for jobs now? Hey, you can't, we might not employ you unless you show us that you are fully vaccinated.
You could be qualified, your resume could be top notch, but just because you might not have that vaccination card, you might not get the job.
That's what, if we're not gonna allow you to eat here, how are we gonna allow you to work here?
Sheesh.
That's where this is going. And you know, I know I get the pushback. Obviously, everyone has their own rights to believe in what they have to believe in, and they're gonna have their pushback on it. A lot of people want to say that, oh, well, people who are vaccinated are also getting COVID as well.
That's another topic.
That's what people. But then again, the pushback against that is, yeah, they're getting COVID, but they're not. No one's dying. People who are vaccinated, who are getting COVID, have been able to, you know, combat it, or it's been less severe compared to unvaccinated people. So there's going to be an argument no matter where you go. Now, the question is, how is this country going to handle it? That's my whole thing is, I just see this getting real ugly, man. I see this getting real ugly where people are going to want to fight and want to take charges. Who knows where this can go? I'm saying, like, look at January 6th. America shows that they're capable of anything. Whew.
That's a day that will always stand out big time in history. But I hope when they write them new textbooks, please don't leave January 6th out.
I mean, in Texas, they're trying to leave out Martin Luther King and the KKK. And so history books can control whatever they want.
There's a lot of stains on this country for sure. And that January 6th, I'll never forget, stuck in front of the TV watching everything we watched unfold. Look straight out of Call of Duty. It looked like a mission in a video game. And you know, all the years old, video games are fake. You know, you got different video game stuff happening, but like, that literally looked like a mission out of some kind of war video game.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Attack on the White House.
And like, we're watching it live, and I remember this being on Twitter, like, okay, something's happening. Then you see in the inside footage, then you go on the news, and it's like, no, this is real.
Oh, yeah. It's real, all right. But
so I'm not saying something like that could happen, Jerry, but I'm saying this, we're capable of anything. As more cities, New York won't be the first one. By next week, there's going to be other cities who have this rule and say, hey, in order to use our gyms or our restaurants or to be employed here, you're going to need to be vaccinated.
Those cards are going to be as official as, you know, some places where you go with your driver's license, they stick it into a little machine to scan or whatever, I don't know what it is, barcode or whatever it is on your driver's license to make sure it's a real driver's license, not a fake one.
Yeah, but my thing is,
there are people that's going to make fake vaccination cards.
My thing, I got a vaccination card. A second grader can make that.
It's going to change, though.
Vaccination cards are just, it's legit a paper card.
Right now they are.
Yeah.
So, as this thing progresses, aren't citizens supposed to get like a new driver's license within the next year or two? I thought there was a new form or variation of a driver's license that's supposed to be on the way. I'm not sure if that's correct, or maybe it already happened, or I'm not sure. But I feel like if you get a new driver's license, it comes with something different. I'm not sure what it is. If you tuned in right now, you know what I'm talking about. Please let me know.
I didn't hear that.
Maybe I'm wrong. I swear I heard something like
I didn't hear that. I know
what I'm saying. You're saying,
I know passports are going to change.
You saying vaccination cards right now, flimsy little piece of paper?
Yeah, they're not. They're nothing crazy. Passport. I mean, what do you call it? Vaccination cards aren't crazy. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of fraud vaccination cards out there as we speak. We have a question here. How hard do you really think it's going to be to make fake cards? Thoughts, gamers everywhere. People will find a way. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like that's like I was just saying. Like I could pull out my vaccination card right now, and it's nothing. It's nothing special. I went to the airport with it when I was traveling. They look at it. They don't know the doctor who gave me my shot. It could be any. It's just a signature, and the dates of when I got vaccinated. Anybody could create that.
Oh, it's like where you get your CPR card.
Yeah, bro.
Like a CPR card.
And listen, here on Double M, we are not advocating for any
type of
scams.
Do not make
fake.
Do not make anything fake.
Kids, do not do this at home. We are not advocating for none of that. All I'm just saying is, if someone were to do it, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, hey, people try to make fake IDs every day. People try to make fake IDs all the time, which is why restaurants or bars or, you know, clubs, they have that machine where they stick it in, or sometimes they flash a flashlight on it to check your ID. I don't know. But that's, I think that's what's going to end up happening with vaccination cards.
We got Sean here saying they got away with terror attacks. Can you explain on that and what you meant? Derek saying either show your vaccination card or they're going to shut everything down again. So here's the next topic, right? And we can transition into that as Derek is talking. Is it possible, Mike, that we could be entering a variation of a shutdown?
I don't know how deep of a shutdown the world or the country could possibly get into again. For sure, we might see a situation where, like, okay, the mask mandate is back. You go here, there, wherever, you must wear your mask again.
I'm surprised that's not like the first thing that came back.
And I believe that will be the first thing happen. Most businesses, stores, like, look, you're going to come here, you got to wear your mask. Are we talking shutdown where there was, what's them things in the Wild Wild West? When they be showing the tumbleweeds and stuff? Are we going back to early 2020 when you saw tumbleweeds down the street and the roads are empty because no one was going anywhere? Are we getting back to that? I don't know if we'll get that deep back into a lockdown, but if we are headed that direction, I definitely see the mask mandate being definitely the first thing to be implemented again by stores and businesses and whatnot.
Yeah, it's weird how there could be a lot of businesses lost a lot of money, right? There's going to be a lot of pushback on a shutdown, just financial wise. I don't see that happening. And due to the fact that no one's going to want to have another shutdown, what we're seeing in New York might be the reason why everywhere else does the same. Like I said, it's going to take numbers to prove that. You know, if a couple weeks from now we see that, hey, New York's found a way, and their numbers have limited, and their death toll. Because at the end of the day, all it comes down is to deaths. You're trying to limit deaths. If their death toll is lower from what they've done, everyone else is going to hop on board and be like, hey, there's vaccines everywhere. There's plenty. Everyone go get your vaccine. Boom. I even heard now that, like, people are getting paid. People are getting paid to get vaccinated.
Wow.
And so that's how much they're trying to push the vaccine on America. And then while we have all these vaccines, there's countries that have no vaccines at all right now, which I just don't understand how. That's another topic. But yeah, there's countries that have no vaccines, while over here there's plenty, and to the point that they're paying people.
Yeah. Whole vaccination thing is, and it's crazy, they kind of connected to the sports world. NFL season hasn't even started yet, and you hear literally every day there's some kind of debate.
Why is it players that are getting COVID so crazy?
Excuse me. I don't know. You're a celebrity, you're out and about, you know, you got people running up to you, got people want to be around you, got other people want to share your space. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, but I'm saying how, you know, there was a week where like a couple coaches or assistant coaches would have had to step down for their job because they were refusing to get vaccinated. When I think the Patriots lost a coach. I think might have been the Minnesota Vikings had a coach step down or something. Then you got other, like the Ron Rivera story.
Yeah.
And, you know, about players getting, coaches want their players to get vaccinated, and they're pissed that their full team's not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Like,
because now with the team aspect, when it comes to sports and teams, it's difficult, and I understand it from a coach's perspective. yo, we're not trying to go through any type of protocols where we're losing players. And so you're putting us at a disadvantage now. Mm-hmm. You know, you understand it from a coach, but hey, guys, these are the rules. If we can get this done, we won't be at a disadvantage if we get hit with a COVID break or something like that. We'll be able to fight through it if you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, then the NFL is going to come hard on us, and we're going to be in a situation like the Bengals were when they had to get some dude off the street to be their quarterback. Was it the Bengals?
I don't know. Vikings are about to hit that situation. Derek just reminded us that all the quarterbacks on the Vikings came down with COVID.
Yeah, so like coaches don't want to put their teams in that situation. And then as a player, you got your rights, right? You got the right to choose whether you want to be vaccinated or not. So that makes it difficult. There was another COVID thing with sports that it was the Broncos.
One of them B teams with
the B's. My fault. It's been a while. That 2020 season was a blur. There was another COVID situation I wanted to bring up that I forgot
about. Sports related?
It was a football team that had something to do with COVID.
It wasn't the Ron Rivera situation.
You brought up Ron Rivera and it sparked. Oh, DeAndre Hopkins. Do you remember what DeAndre Hopkins said?
Oh, when
Hopkins come out and said, yo, like,
he'll retire.
I'm considering leaving. And I don't know if that was just off of the effect of him just being upset. But Hopkins, like, yeah, I'll question retiring than getting the COVID vaccine. So when it comes to sports now, it's difficult because NFL's pretty much said, yo, if you guys aren't vaccinated, there's going to be things that are going to be huge hurdles for your team.
Yeah, man. And in the MLB, like that, not much talk about that is going on. I mean, obviously they're dealing with their problems, but it's like mid-season, you know, so I don't think they want to necessarily dive mid-season into having the same type of conversations the NFL is having. Then you got the NBA. Their season just ended. You know, NBA just need a break all around. They've been through a lot between going through last season and dealing with the bubble. So, like, they all probably on vacation. They need it.
NBA is going through, what, their third season of COVID?
Pretty much.
They're going into their third season of COVID. That's how long this has been.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting how it plays out with the NFL season and what coaches do and what the NFL does with players. I don't know, man. I don't know. But it seems like you got a season taking place and then you have the COVID conversation taking place. It's two different things going on.
And that's going to be with everything, right? Everything you have to – with every move you do, you have to consider – COVID with it. And you know, as we're moving, you know, I can speak personally on my day-to-day, COVID hasn't really been on my mind like it was months ago.
Yeah,
it's just you want to think that it's a thing of the past. You really do. Like, what, we in August, June, July, COVID wasn't on my mind like that like it was before. Now that we're going into August, you're hearing it a lot more due to this different type of variant and strains that's coming on, and people are finally getting sick again. And I'm not saying again, because it's always been there, but you thought, you know, during once the vaccine started getting readily available, you didn't hear it much. And then it was summertime. People weren't going to be sitting at their cribs doing nothing
again
this summer. And then everything started, especially where we're at in Massachusetts, everything was opened up, mask mandate gone. So it seemed like we were trending upwards. And now as we're entering fall, you know, the cold, the flu season is about to come on again. Looks like we're going back downwards.
Yeah, man. It's we could be stepping into a situation that looks like the fall of 2020 all over again. I saw Sean come in here with these comments. I'm going back to what took place January 6th, and I definitely want to quickly, before we change gears, mm-hmm. you know, Sean says, by letting a rebel group threaten an attempt to influence our government through violence in an attack that promotes terror and fear, which affects decisions, they succeeded in what with what it seems to what they seem to know. When I think about that situation and what Sean said here again, seems to be little or no consequences that took place with that situation. What really was the aftermath of that terrorist attack on the Capitol building? Because it's kind of swept under the rug. And not, believe I swear, I'm not comparing that terror attack to like something like September 11th. But you know, after September 11th, you know, we constantly heard about us in the media, you know, conversations about the attacks and whatnot. We're talking about damn near civil war that took place on January 6th. What came from that situation? I don't know. Maybe I'm oblivious. Maybe I don't pay attention to the news enough. But like Sean said, it seems that there wasn't much consequences right. That really came from it.
I mean, what happened? The people who got caught on video, obviously, went to jail for their actions. But an overall thing, I mean, they focused it on the president. Everything was mainly focused on Trump and him inciting all of this and banning him from social media and such. But you're right. I mean, what is the answer to that? You know, what are the consequences people are looking for that?
Maybe me personally, it's the fact that Trump damn near told people to do that.
Sure did.
He damn near was on TV or in front of the media and told people to attack the Capitol building. In different kind of words, he basically said that. And his consequence was to be banned from social media. That's what it seems like, in a sense.
Right. They tried to impeach him.
Wasn't successful, but his presidency
was ending.
Ended, and he got banned from social media or Twitter. I don't know where else he's banned from, but yeah. Shout out to Sean with that, because that's something that's true. It seems like a kind of situation that doesn't get talked about enough. It kind of get brushed in the rug when, like, I know many people who watched that day unfold on TV, something you've never thought you see before.
Yeah.
You never thought you'd see anything like that.
Like, this won't be the last time we're on this couch talking about January 6th.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Where were you when this happened?
When U.S. citizens attacked the Capitol building. And yeah. But let's change gears a little bit here. You know, Marv kind of alluded to it in a previous conversation, talking about this new COVID variant that's out there, the Delta variant or something like that, and how it's out and about now. And with this new variant out there, you can kind of bring in connections with, you know, these music festivals and huge gatherings that are taking place where people are exposed to each other in very close contact, excuse me. And the biggest music festival that, you know, I'm not really big on music festivals or concerts and whatnot, is Rolling Loud still taking place, or is it over?
Now it's Lollapalooza.
Now is Lollapalooza taking place? Rolling Loud's done.
Yeah, Rolling Loud is done.
Okay, so Rolling Loud is done. Lollapalooza is now taking place. But either way, it's same similar situation, you know, musical performances and whatnot, and a large crowd of people gathered together. And from what I've seen from little videos and pictures and whatnot, ain't nobody wearing no mask out there.
No, there's no mask, bro.
So like, you got the pandemic still going on. You got COVID-19 still around. Now you got another variant going on. And then we just had a conversation on the last episode. Should the Olympics be taking place? Now we can have a conversation on this episode. Should these large, massive, if it's not Rolling Stone, Lollapalooza, you know, Coachella, like all these different type of things that pop off, are these necessary during a pandemic?
Yeah, and the reason why this is a conversation is because with this new COVID variant that's out there, I don't know what to call it. So excuse me if I sound ignorant.
It's the Delta variant.
Delta variant. That's what it's called. a lot of people, especially for Rolling Loud that ended like late July, a lot of people got sick. And when you're talking about a festival, people don't. If the festival's in Miami, it's not Miami residents that are going to Rolling Loud. It's people from all across America or even the world,
yeah,
that are coming. Lollapalooza was where? Chicago, I believe. People all around the world are going there. And now a lot of people are getting sick. And so at first, you know, people on social media and stuff are talking about the fans like, yo, why the hell are you guys going out to a festival right now during this thing that's happening culturally around the world? And now the question is also is, what about these artists? You know that there's hundreds and thousands of people all coming together to see you. And now people are really getting sick. Do artists, the question I guess I asked to everyone who's watching and to you, Mike, do artists hold some type of blame as well when it comes to holding these festivals at a moment like this?
You know, from the artist standpoint, I think the ones who are performing would just be like, or say, you know, I just really miss the fans. I want to be with the fans. I want to share my music with the fans, this and that. It's a cute, nice thing to say. Missing the fans. Want to be around fans. Okay. Now, real life, you ask artists, is it that necessary to bring all these people together knowing what's going on in the world? Do I want to sit here and say I blame the artists? Because part of it is, yeah, okay, they maybe missed the fans or whatnot. But another huge part of it is them artists performing at these festivals are getting paid.
They're getting a bag.
They're getting a lot of money to be on the stage performing. And when you're on the stage, for them, unless you're on a freaking musical group, you're in a freaking band, you out there by yourself performing. And, you know, the audience are a distance away from you. If you have a band or something playing behind you, they're behind
you're
you.
You're not in the crowd.
You're not in the crowd. You're not around anybody. So you're on that stage by yourself. You have no worries about being in close contact, 6 feet, nothing. Because even when you walk off the stage, you don't know. Some of these artists maybe walk off the stage and put a mask right on their face and make their way to their locker, their dressing room or whatever the case may be. So the artists, in a sense, don't have the same worries that the people do out in the stands or whatnot. Now, am I going to sit here? Are they to blame that all these people are coming? I won't blame the artists. All those thousands of people standing there, you really care that much to hear this artist that you're going to risk, you know, possibly the health and safety of yourself or other people around you, or you leave the concert, you're going back home, you got to... It's a question that you have to ask yourself. So I don't necessarily put the blame on the artists, because at the end of the day, the artists are trying to make money. And in this wild world that we're currently living in, maybe some artists, I don't know how necessarily the music industry works, but whatnot, money-wise, but they maybe need that Lollapalooza and Rolling Loud money.
I was thinking that, and it's true. I mean, everyone's getting their money in different ways, but we're talking about big-name artists here. We're not talking about – no one's coming to see Lil Joe from City Hall. Like, these are some big-time artists that are coming out to perform. And I'm like you, Mike. I'm not going to blame the artist. I mean, I'm not saying there's something wrong with your morals or anything like that, that you're going out to perform. Everyone's been going through it this past couple years. Everyone's been going through it. And they want to be out there with the people. It's just that what a hell of a time, because if you see those crowds, yo, the crowds are crazy. Wild. They're probably bigger than before due to the fact that everyone just wants to be outside and everyone wants to celebrate. But it has led to many illnesses. It had led to COVID spikes. So at what point is enough enough? We got comments.
Got a comment here saying, everyone performing with the artist or working with the artist are probably fully vaccinated and required to wear masks regardless, so the risk is still there, but way more minimized for the people attending. more minimized than the people attending, which is probably true. Like I just said, you know, before the artists probably get on stage or whatnot, they're probably masked or whatnot. And they probably do have a crew around them who are fully vaccinated. If you're not fully vaccinated, your mask better stay on your face the whole time or you're fired. I forgot where I heard this story, but I heard some story from somewhere. Tom Cruise was filming a movie and like, I think it might have leaked on TMZ or something like that. Tom Cruise was filming a movie and somebody in the movie or somebody part of the cast like took their mask off or was going out not wearing their mask. And Tom Cruise roasted them and said, if y'all don't get y'all shit together, I'm firing you or something like that.
Tom Cruise.
I forgot where I heard this story. I wish I remember. But Tom Cruise went off because I guess, like, yo, if you either vaccinated or you got the mask on your face, it's one or the other. But I agree with this comment here. I mean, I would assume that whoever's around the artist is fully vaccinated or they're wearing their mask at all times. But then, I mean, you can't really regulate what the crowd is doing because at the end of the day, the artist is getting money. Excuse me. The artist is getting money and the venue is getting a lot of money too.
Yeah. It's making currency. And at the end of the day, we already know cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all. That's how the world works. I could see festivals being canceled in the future if this continues. I'm hoping not, but I definitely can see it trending that way. Like I'm seeing artists starting to go on tour, and me personally, I'm excited as hell. Like, word, my favorite artist is coming to Boston. We haven't seen concerts in over a year. Then another thing in my head is like, damn, I need to know how this COVID thing is going. Cause that could change everything. Now, I would never go to no type of festival because those festivals are wild right now. I wouldn't do that. But you know, it's just things to keep in mind. And unfortunately, August 2021, we're still in this predicament and still trying to figure it out. And if we're being honest with ourselves, this may be a while. This right here may be a while.
And it's crazy because, you know, as we still talk about COVID and whatnot, I think there was some form of optimism, like at the beginning of summer, late spring, when like, okay, this is starting to open back up. Okay, we're coming down from level two. What were they called in Massachusetts when they had
phase?
You're coming down from phase two and phase three, whatever the case was. The phase was starting to, you know, fall back. I think there was some level of optimism where like, oh, things are getting back to normal. Business opening up. You don't have to wear your mask places anymore. It was a level of optimism there, but now it seems I'm starting to see stuff on social media like, yo, please, if we go into lockdown and whatnot again, let me know now so I can decide if I need to go school shopping. Because am I going into school with some fresh clothes and fresh shoes, or am I just need fresh pajamas to be ready in bed for my Zoom class? Like,
right.
What is it going to be? People want to know. And, you know, that optimism, like I said, that was kind of probably there late spring, early summer. Now it slowly could possibly feel like it's fading away because you got new variants and whatnot.
So, I mean, we'll be all well prepared if there were to be another lockdown. Like, we already went through it. We know how to go through it. We know how to work through it now. Everything will be a lot more efficient compared to how it was back in April and May. So, you know, if the world does trend that direction, hopefully it doesn't. But if it does, everyone will be prepared. They won't, like, schools won't miss a beat this time.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be business as usual. I'm guessing when there's trainings for jobs, there's going to be a segment or a day where you have training of what to do when there is a pandemic or what to do when you have to work from home.
Shut down. Yeah. Remote, yeah.
So that way, when something happens, you're not missing a beat. They expect business as usual when you're working from home and such.
Ah, Sean brings up an interesting point here. He feels like nobody especially including the CDC is talking about people who caught the virus and acquired natural antibodies from it. I mean, yeah, you don't really hear about that at all too much. What you do hear more about than anything is people caught it one time and they possibly caught it again.
Yeah.
Or you hear about people who have the virus, I mean, who have the vaccine and are still catching it. But you never hear about what Sean just brought up a little bit. It's not something that gets talked about a lot.
Is Sean trying to say that it's conspiracy behind it? Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why it's not being talked about?
That's interesting. Interesting indeed. Before we continue, Sean, how we looking over there? All right, cool.
So, while we have you guys here.
Promotion time. Oh, yeah,
We're here with it, bro. While we have you guys here, before we get to our next topic.
You good, Sean?
Yeah, you do what you got to do, Sean. Before we get to our next topic. If he switches the battery, does it get away from us? No, just got to switch the camera. Okay. We are going to switch
up real quick.
That works.
Okay. If someone's on right now, let us know if you can hear us.
Oh, we're good.
Oh, man, that was quick.
Just like that.
Uh-huh. Now, which one?
There we go.
Working on new cameras, new technology, guys. Work with us. But as I was saying with promotion, August 27th, an opportunity came knocking on Double M's door. A great opportunity for everyone to have a great time. Shout out to Massive Media. Shout out to the creator, Jamal, aka Conflict. There's a puff and paint. You guys know about paint nights and wine, paint, wine. But this is puff and paint. Puff and paint with a little bit of wine and vibes. Hosted by yours truly, Mike Nice. Anything you want to tell the people what to expect?
I'll tell you, man. I already know what our brother Jamal, aka Conflict, aka Irk, aka Barry, I know what he brings to the table. You know, him, myself, Marv, we've been in this game for years. It's like we rewrote the manual. We do it on the annual, you know? So, you know, combination of what he's bringing to the table, combination of what Marv and I bring to the table, which is nothing new to the three of us already. It's going to be a hell of a night. Puff and paint, wine and vibes.
Yes.
There might be tickets still available. A very few.
From when we started the show, there were 5 tickets left. If you want to get a ticket, you have to go on our Instagram, click our link tree in our profile, and you'll see it. Puff and paint, wine and vibes. So the puff and paint, you get to do, you know, while you paint, and you can do your little extracurricular activities.
Your little roll up
thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a little 420 friendly things. And then after that, that's when Mike and I come in, and we're gonna have a great conversation. You know, we're gonna talk about things you guys want to talk about. If you've been to a Minutes to Midnight event from Conflict and I and Mike Nice, you guys already know what type of conversation we're going to have.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got some games, some raffles. It's going to be a great time.
And some good tunes loading up.
Tunes. Mike's got a playlist he's excited for. I got a playlist I'm excited for. So, you know, come through with just good vibes at the Sound Lab. And I'm only speaking to 5 people because there's 5 tickets left.
As we talk, there could be 4, maybe 3.
And we only put them out, what, Monday?
We put them out Monday morning.
We are recording on a Tuesday evening.
And there's only 5 tickets left. maybe less.
Yeah, and by the time people hear this audio-wise, I'm sorry, this might have been a waste of your time because it's finished.
So maybe have to see at the next go around if you miss out on this one.
That's all. That's all. You know how we do.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned. But yes,
let's transition. The last leg of the race here for Double M. You know, it's free agency time, man. Free agency in the NBA is a wild time. Let's go over some of the big ones.
Oh, Westbrook. Boy.
Westbrook to the Lakers. DeMar DeRozan to Chicago Bulls.
Lonzo Ball to the Bulls.
Lonzo to the Bulls.
Carmelo to the Lakers.
Carmelo to the Lakers. Let's see. Any big other big updates? Any
Kyle Lowry to the Heat.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Kyle Lowry to the Heat. Curry just got another $200 million contract. The first player to ever get two $200 million contracts.
Sheesh. The guy living large.
Yeah. As some would say, it looks like he might retire as a Golden State Warrior.
shout out to Blazington. But yeah, a lot of moves, a lot of low-key moves. I'm not talking about like Dwight Howard went to the Lakers.
Andre Drummond to the Sixers.
A lot of low-key moves, a lot of big-time moves that have taken place in the NBA. And as our guy Barbette is here saying, he wanted Lonzo Ball to come to the Boston Celtics.
I would have liked that.
It brings us to our major point here.
I would like to see it.
The Boston Celtics. As we sit here right now doing this show, you know, Marvin and I haven't been checking social media, so I don't know what's popped off. But at this current point in time, the Celtics have signed zero players in free agency. We've seen names go left and right, from this team to that team, back and this and that and left. The Celtics have made zero moves during this free agent period. Now, they've made some moves.
They sure did. Moves I like.
Solid moves. They traded Tristan Thompson.
See ya.
And some kind of package deal. They got back Josh Richardson. What was the other move? Moses Brown is
Bruno,
gone.
We got Bruno Mars.
Bruno San Martino. What's his name?
What'd you call him?
Bruno Fernando. Something like that. I forgot his name. Look it up.
We got Bruno.
Bruno something from Atlanta. We got Josh Richardson. Why am I feel like I'm forgetting somebody?
Al Horford.
Chris Dunn. Al Horford came in the Kemba Walker deal, much during the playoffs. That trade happened. And then we got Chris Dunn in a move as well. So Celtics made some trades to move some players around and whatnot. Bruno Fernando, yes. They made a couple trades to move some pieces around. But in terms of free agency, where players are free to go to new teams and sign wherever they please, Celtics have made zero moves. And it's kind of frustrating. It's very frustrating. Because, you know, as any fan of a team, they want to see their team make improvements, make moves to get better. And the Celtics have done nothing. Now, there's reports out there saying, look, the Celtics aren't trying to make any major moves this offseason. They don't want to spend a lot of money because they're trying to stay flexible with their money, save money so that, they can make a big splash next offseason. And you know what, Marv? I get it. It sounds cool. You want to save money and make a big splash for next season. That's what all the reports said. But what the hell are you telling me? You don't give a damn about this upcoming season? Are we supposed to? I remember at last offseason, I said, oh, well, this season's a wash. Celtics aren't winning anything. I know that already.
Yeah,
but. And not to say that coming into this offseason or coming out of this offseason, I felt that the Celtics were going to win a championship. Like, I'm not saying that. But to do nothing at this point in time, and not even try. I know you're maybe hoping for a big free agent signing next offseason, but to not really do much right now, it doesn't put a good taste in Celtics fans' mouths knowing what you just dealt with.
I'm not upset. Like, maybe I'm the minority in Celtics fans in this, Mick, because you just spoke for the whole Celtics base. I'm not upset. I mean, yes. You want that note? You want to get that Woj bomb?
Shams.
You know, you want to see Shams tweet song out that Celtics got that. You just want to be. You want to feel part of the race.
That's it.
I get it.
You want to feel part of the race.
Just want to feel
like we're there. You ding ding. Oh, okay. Celtics something. You want to feel like that. However, look, Celtics' hands are very much tied up. Very much tied up. It's annoying to talk about money. It's annoying to talk about cap space and whatnot, but that's why you got rid of Tristan. That's why you got rid of Kemba, because you were going to be in a worse situation regardless. So the little money that you have is not going to go into someone mid-level, because that's going to screw you up for next year when you're really trying to make a better roster. Right now, hey, Celtics fans, you don't want to hear it. You're in that development stage where you have to, you have, and the coach said it when he came here. He's like, yo, we have some guys here that need to be better. Romeo Langford. What's his name? Neesmith. Like, these are guys now that are going to have to be in better roles. Tatum and Brown, for the most part, you know what they are and what they can be. I think they can be better. They're not going to take another huge step like they just did. You're going to get a lot from what you're seeing last year from them. Hopefully, they become better playmakers and such huge. And such like that. You got a guy in Peyton Pritchard that you want to see take that next step possibly. Chris Dunn is a great acquisition that I like. You lost Evan Fournier. So when you got Jason Richardson, the sign was on the wall.
No, wrong Richardson. Not Jason Richardson, Josh.
Josh Richardson. Sorry, shout out to Jason Richardson, though. Josh Richardson. You got Josh Richardson. He's a nice little two-way player, you know. Hopefully he brings Philadelphia Josh Richardson to a Miami Heat Josh Richardson with him where he was at his best. But, yeah, this team is middle of the pack just like last year. But now there's kind of a breakaway where you see Brad Stevens got rid of a lot of guys that – just weren't going to make it. He says, sorry, Taco. Sorry, Waters. Semi's on another team. He got rid of Tristan. He got rid of Kemba.
It's a lot of flexibility now there with money.
Money, you're going to be flexible, and you're going to develop some guys that need time. Williams, you need Robert Williams to be healthy. Can he be that guy for the Celtics? This is the season to find out if he's going to be that guy for you or not. These are where questions are going to be answered this year. If you make a large push, that's even better, because that's going to make it easier to get a free agent if you can go on a magical run like Brad Stevens did with some bum teams. I know everyone was excited about Isaiah Thomas and, oh my God, Celtics were interested in Isaiah Thomas. Listen, Celtics fans, at some point in life, you're going to have to let this go.
Hold on,
let me look at the camera. Celtics fans. At some point in life, you're going to have to let it go.
You know,
I like Isaiah Thomas.
Marv.
I like him. And if he comes to the Celtics, welcome back.
Marv.
But listen, I'm going to tell you this. I think I told you this earlier too, Mike, off camera. Celtics do not need to rush to bring in Isaiah Thomas.
That I agree with.
They don't need to rush.
That I agree with.
He's going to be available. I'm going to say the rules. He's going to be available. So, like, if other moves need to be made, let it be made. Isaiah comes back. It's a nice feel-good story. Danny Ainge left, got rid of him. Brad Stevens came back and brought his buddy. I'm all for it. I might even write an article. Sounds good. But that's not the priority for the Boston Celtics right now.
Yeah, it's not. I hear that. And I agree with you there. There should be no rush to assign Isaiah Thomas because, you know, This is not 2016, 2017. At the same time, when you talk about a team that you'd love to see them add some type of scoring punch off the bench, I would take Isaiah Thomas. You know, and like I said, I want everybody to know, I'd want Isaiah to know, this ain't 2016, 2017. Like, you're not looking for no king of the fourth and, you know, this, you know what time it, like, we're not looking for that. If Isaiah was to come to the Boston Celtics, you come off the bench. You play a little 18 or 21 minutes. You give what you can. You know, I don't know if you're the same guy you were 4 or 5 years ago, but this isn't your team anymore. Back then, it was your team for that 2 years.
And he'd understand that.
And I think he would. Now, is Brad Stevens? Not even just Brad Stevens, is coach.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Udoku ready to make that happen? I don't know. But you know, it's different time period right now. I think Isaiah still has something he can add to a team. Obviously, yes, his height is a factor, being a defensive liability is a factor, but you know, all the pressure that was on him 4 or 5 years ago is not the same now, which is why I would, you know, like, I remember a couple years ago, they was asking, bring him back. You know, maybe he can, if Kyrie's gone, maybe you can get Isaiah. Like, I remember there was talk like that, but it's different time right now. So if Isaiah to come back, I think the role for him would be, it would be there, especially with this team. This team needs something.
Yeah. They lost offensively. They took a step back offensively.
And I would definitely say, I think Isaiah can add a nice little 12 to 15 point scoring punch off the bench. Because right now, who's your best player off the bench? Josh Richardson? Naismith hasn't proved anything. Langford hasn't proved anything. Pritchard, he showed flashes his rookie season, but who knows where his development is at. Are there other better names out there that you can try to get that's not Isaiah Thomas? Yeah, but at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early in free agency. We didn't make the headlines. You know, we didn't make Showtime.
Sure did it.
But everything that Brad Stevens was saying during the draft night is, hey, we got to reconstruct this roster. Now, he got rid of folks. Now, the question is, how are you going to fill it in? I'm not expecting a championship team. I understand.
Not this year.
No, not this year. I understand what this year is about. I get it. You got to make a run. You got a whole new coaching system. Get everyone acquainted to that. Another year for Tatum and Brown to be great. See if they can add something extra into their notch where they can maybe carry this team into the second round at least as superstars or stars in the making. They should try to be able to do that. That should be their goal. And from there, what kind of free agency you can bring? I mean, the Marcus Smart contract's up in the air. That's going to be talked about from today till February. What's going to happen with Marcus Smart? How they're going to move that? Barbette brought up Lonzo. If Lonzo was here, Marcus was out the door.
Yeah, that's what all the reports said. Now that Lonzo is in Chicago, Celtics intend on keeping Marcus Smart.
So it's looking like that marriage might end soon. And it's weird to even think about a Celtics team without Marcus Smart on it. It's been that long. I don't know how many players in this new NBA have lasted 7 years with the team that they're on right now. And that's crazy to even think about, because before that wasn't even a thought. But Marcus has been with the Celtics for a long, long time now. And it's looking like the marriage might be over. Maybe not. Let's see how the year goes. But we'll see. We see that Brad Stevens is ruthless.
Yeah, it seems like Brad Stevens is definitely...
Brought Tristan Thompson for a 2-year contract. Say, yeah, Danny's gone. You got to go.
Yeah. We'll see how Brad Stevens continues to make moves. The last thing I'll say about the Celtics, and it's something that, you know, we'll probably bring up again when we have more Celtics talk on future episodes, is one thing is clear from Brad, from Coach Udoku. They intend on building around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And that's music to my ears, because I want that to happen. And Brad Stevens has reiterated that numerous times. I think even on the draft night, he reiterated it again. Coach Udoku said that, you know, from his press conference, those are the two pillars of the organization, and they're going to do whatever they can to put the best options around them too. And I think that should be music to every Celtics fan's ears, because you have two young stars. I don't even know if I could say in the making anymore, because they might be there.
It's a little fine.
But, you know, they're still young, 22 and 24 years old. You know, so much more development can take place. They haven't really hit their primes yet. But the fact that your general manager or president of basketball operations or head coach have keyed in and said that they plan on building around those two all-star players, you know, I think that should bring Celtics fans happiness in the midst of this no moves and free agency and not doing anything. know that they plan on doing whatever they can to make sure that they put the best team around these two young guys moving forward.
Definitely. If you are watching, you are watching Double M Live. Double M Live, Mike Nice, Mies. Make sure you subscribe. Hit that like button. That's what keeps us going. If you are on Facebook, you are on Periscope, understand that we are also on YouTube, where you can catch all of our videos from the past and even some videos from partners that we have. We got Josh, we got Cy, Kiki, Sam, we got the Real Snipematic. We got a lot of things coming to you guys soon. So please tune in, subscribe, and make sure you follow us on social media as well to catch all of the good fixings.
Last thing I want to touch on real quick, you know, we staying in the sports world for a second. For my baseball fans out there, my Red Sox fans, if you've been keeping track with how the season's been progressing, you know, this Boston Red Sox team started off real hot, coming off a shortened MLB season. They sucked during that short MLB season with no fans in the stadiums and whatnot. The Red Sox were terrible. But, you know, they came back this year. They got their coach back that they wanted, Alex Cora, who, you know, served his suspension, you know, last season. They started off hot and they got to the All-Star break and whatnot. And since then, they've just kind of been up and down, roller coaster. They just haven't been the same hot team that they were to start the year. If you paid attention to the standings, you know, you got the Tampa Bay Rays real close to them in the standings. I think the Red Sox actually fell out of first place. But even if you're just a casual Red Sox fan, the fact that you hear the name Chris Sale is on his way back to the team, that should be huge news. I don't know how much of a savior Chris Sale is going to be, but we know he's a big-time pitcher. You know, he's obviously dealt with some injuries, some arm, shoulder injuries, but he's on his way back. A couple rehab assignments. He's been pitching great down in the minor leagues, and if you can get his arm back into the rotation, because a lot of them other guys that have been pitching for the Red Sox are real shaky. But if you can get a Chris Sale back and in the same form that he was in when the Red Sox initially signed him and in his previous years in Chicago, it would help out big time. So I'm looking forward to see what Chris Sale brings to the table. You know, I know people may be questioning, are the Red Sox true contenders right now? Because they're not as hot and dominant as they were in the beginning of the season. As we're shifting into getting into August and getting into September baseball, like, it's a real crunch time right now. Can they continue their dominance and really be a possible World Series champion contender? It remains to be seen, but getting Chris Sale back, I think, will really help, you know, boost up the team's morale and spirit, and getting one of their leaders back, it'll be huge. So for those Red Sox fans out there, pay attention to that. Chris Sale is on the way.
Yeah, talk to me in October.
That's what you care about. All you care about is that October baseball, Mark.
Talk to me in October.
Well, hey, hopefully the Red Sox should be there in October. How far they go is a completely different conversation.
How long has it been? Chris Sale was what, 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
They signed him 3 years ago. He pitched great his first season.
I remember that.
Second season was kind of, then I feel the third season, he sucked again, but then they shut him down because of arm injury. Then he was shut down, missed. He hasn't pitched a game in like over a year. So, you know, he was the guy. They signed him big money when they signed that guy and gave him a big time contract extension. You know, we'll see what kind of shape he's in when he gets back. But in the minor leagues, he's been killing it. But the minor league guys ain't the major league guys.
It's a different ball game.
We'll see how it goes when we get back to that. When he gets back to the majors, we'll see how it goes there.
All right. That's a Red Sox take from Mr. Mike. Nice.
Put a little something there.
But as we wrap up here on Double M Live, just want to thank everyone once again for tuning in, showing love, hitting that like button, getting that subscription on. So much more on the way, man. So much more. As you can see, we're improving every single week. Look at the camera quality. Shout out to Massive Media for sure. always helping out the Double M, and you know, a lot more projects on the way. So please stay tuned. Always looking for feedback as well. Let us know what you guys think, what you guys want to talk about, what you guys are feeling. But this Double M Live, man, that's
quick shout out. Quick shout out. Y'all see the shirt? See that championship right there? Shout out to my softball team, the Dingers. We okay. got the chip. You see the shirt, the championship trophy.
You got me on social media. What you play for?
You know, the trophy, the picture with me and the trophy's out there too. But I know I have to represent my team tonight. Shout out to the Dingers getting that trophy. You know, doing our thing.
What's your team name?
The Dingers, because we hit Dingers. I'm just a player on the team. Dingers, I mean, you hit the ball like home runs. That's a dinger over there. You hit a dinger. It's baseball talk, bro. You don't know. You don't watch. You don't play. You wouldn't understand.
Nah, that's softball talk.
Baseball, softball, same kind of concept.
What's the full team name?
The Dingers. This dude's laughing. This dude don't understand baseball. This is crazy. Softball, whatever. It's Dingers. You hit Dingers, guy. Come on.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
This guy don't understand. All right.
Hey, man.
The baseball heads out there will softball. Understand. Softball heads out there will understand.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a champion.
Hey, you're a champion, bro.
Yo, Dirk, bro. I might. No lie, Dirk. Get your glove and your cleats ready for this coming Thursday. I'll hit your line, bro. We're going to talk.
On behalf of Mike's Dingers team, Double Ooh, M,
we changed, bro. Come on.
Massive Media, we thank everyone for tuning in. Catch you guys again next week here live.